You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to the Fourth Line Podcast in partnership with Last Word on Sports. This is June the 10th, 2017, and with you today is myself, Carl, and the always wonderful Joel. Season's not over yet, Joel.
Don't even get me started. So, I got so many bones to pick this week.
Do you want to get one of the bones picked right off the start? Just get
this. Is
let's spread them out. Let's ease into it. Oh
my god, it's so dumb. Like, there's like what, 6 days in between games right now. This is stupid. It's Saturday night, Stanley Cup Finals. They haven't played for 2 days or however many stinking days. Why do we not have a game tonight?
And they're not even up against basketball because basketball was yesterday.
Oh my goodness. And that, like, Pittsburgh, please win tomorrow. Please win tomorrow. Cause why have we all of a sudden, like, you have one night in between games and travel. Like, just why all of a sudden the playoffs is like, you know what? We need 3 nights off.
Yeah. It's the finals. You want to have them spread out so that you can lose interest in them.
It's just mind-boggling how, like, talk about, I get it, that Pittsburgh fans and Nashville fans won't lose momentum in this series, but, like, isn't the finals, like, you're trying to get everyone that likes hockey engaged?
Absolutely, yeah. The minor fan you want them watching.
Yeah, you are losing interest. Like, I don't even care at this point. I'm just like, oh, please be over. Please be over. This is just, it's just so dumb. I cannot take another day of, like, the worst headlines coming out because the media has nothing to talk about because they're beating every story to death. Ugh. I'm ready. Like, you should be able to do a 7-game series, like, in a week and a half, not 8 weeks.
Like, it should take you 2 weeks because there should be, or what would it be? 13 days. That's what it should take.
At the most, but like, what?
Yeah, if it goes seven.
Why can't we do back to backs? Like, why can't you do a back to back in the playoffs? I don't, like, who cares? Yeah, you're all tired. Like, do it. It doesn't really matter.
Oh, I can get behind that.
Like, I'm not saying, like, do it every, but like, say, like, game one and two. This is back to back,
3-4 back to back, and then like actual like a travel day, not a travel vacation, like a travel long weekend.
Like, do we know if Crosby like did a 1 or 2 day into Cancun and just relax a little bit, fresh air?
Probably did. Yeah, that seems very Crosby to go have fun. That guy's all business. I don't know what he does for fun.
I don't think, does he have fun? Can we confirm that Crosby has ever been happy? Like,
when he wins, that's the only time he cracks a smile.
I don't know. Or are we, like, it's just, it's so discouraging when you're just like, so when was the last game? I don't even know. See, that's the thing. Like, it's been so long. Like, was it Wednesday? It was Wednesday.
Thursday there was a game.
So we're going to have 2 nights. We're gonna have it like a Saturday night where it wasn't like where the game wasn't yesterday. We're gonna have a Saturday night without hockey in the finals when we could easily have a hockey game tonight.
Yeah, and then it's gonna if it goes seven, we'll have a game seven on a Wednesday, everyone's favorite night of the week to watch a hockey game.
So, or we could have had like I don't know. This is dumb. Yeah. It's dumb. There's so many dumb things about this finals right now.
There is. If you, Joel, I know you know how, but if you agree or disagree with Joel, head over to our Twitter, @FourthLinePodcast, or our Facebook, facebook.com/TheFourthLinePodcast, and the website for all of our information, thefourthlinepodcast.com. That's where you can find us on the internet. But thank you for tuning into the show this week. Obviously, lots to talk about with, you know, three games this week. Again, 1 week, three games. So we'll talk a bit about that. We'll see what else Joel has bones to pick about. And we'll get a little bit into the pending off season, because there's already a lot of rumors about some moves that are going to happen. So let's get into those. The Predators. I think last week we sat here and said that the season would be done by the time we come back this Saturday. It's not. And we also said, you kind of disagreed. Anyways, I'll just say what I was going to say. I'd mentioned a series is never over till you lose at home. And we both said the way the Pens are playing, it doesn't look like that matters. And then the Preds went and won both their games at home.
And yeah, they played well.
Yeah. And then the Pens went out and just destroyed them at home. In Pittsburgh, that is, for game five. Game six tomorrow night, does that still ring true? I'm hesitant to say that because we so adamantly sat here last week and said, it's not over, but it is over. And then they went out and played fantastic hockey. They managed to shut down the Pens. The fact that they held Malkin and Crosby shotless in game three, That is an impressive feat.
Was that the game that they didn't have a shot in the second period? I think so. There was one of the games in Nashville. Pittsburgh didn't have a shot in the second period.
Yeah, and Nashville's just been out shooting them like crazy the whole series. So those who are shots based analysts are like, well, Nashville's the better team.
Yeah. Well. I don't know. I'm guessing at this point this series is going to go seven because it doesn't look like it looks like a series that just the home team's going to win now. That's just their Nationals feeding off their fans or something. I don't know. I don't know why. I think it was Duffy that tweeted this, and he said he's like, we're about to see a seven game series in the Stanley Cup Finals and not have one good game.
Yeah, just blowout after blowout.
They're not. It's not entertaining at all. Like,
well, like it's not entertaining until the end. You can safely tune into the first period and a half,
and then it's just over. Yeah, I guess I don't know. I was maybe the other reason why I'm so annoyed with how the schedule is. Like, I've been either working or had ball or something on like nights of games, so I haven't really watched, except for the one night this past week, game five, and I turned it off about 10 minutes in because I was like, well, this game's over, because it was like 3-0 already after the first period. I was like, well, I don't need to watch the rest of this.
If Pekka Rinne doesn't have to play the rest of the game, you don't have to watch the rest of the game.
Yeah, it's not good. And so I'm not expecting, and I got to work tomorrow night, so I'm not watching that game, but I'm fully expecting it to be a terrible game. So
as none of the games have been close, I've been enjoying them. Like for the first chunk, because they are, you know, fairly evenly matched teams. It's just, for whatever reason, Matt Murray cannot play well in Nashville, and Pekka Rinne cannot play well in Pittsburgh.
Is that it? I don't know. Like, and I think you're the only person that I know that has said they're enjoying this series. I haven't seen anyone say that.
Like, I've enjoyed it. It hasn't been like, there have been series. What was it? The Kings Rangers series a few years back. I wanted no part of that. I don't think I watched more than one or two games of that series just because I was like, yeah, this is not entertaining hockey. But it, like, for me, this is appointment television still. Like, I want to watch it. I've booked off tomorrow night. That's happening. Wednesday night, if it goes seven, I will be there.
I could watch game seven if they have a game, but I will not be watching tomorrow night. I don't really get, like, but see, that's the thing. Like, I don't, I'm like, I'm not even sad that I'm not watching. Like, cause like, normally I would be all over a game six or seven in a Stanley Cup final. Cause you're like, oh yeah, like, obviously these teams are well matched, but these teams aren't well matched cause neither of them, like, you can't have a game where both of them show up.
And I think that, I think if either goalie would show up, cause like Matt Murray, as much as I'm a big fan of what he can do, this is those games in Nashville, for sure game three, like that was on him.
Yeah. Here's the thing though. I don't think Rene can show up the way that you need him to. Like, I think, like, so like, he didn't play well in Nashville. His team played well. Like, they weren't getting any shots. Like, or Pittsburgh was playing badly. It wasn't that Rene showed up any more than he has. Like, he's not a very good goalie. It's becoming more and more clear. This is a really bad thing for him, is that he's like getting tons of national exposure. And now everyone's like, oh, this guy's not as good as the numbers show. This guy's not a good goalie.
Why does that matter for him? Like, that doesn't change who he is. It's not like it's going to mess up like a future contract thing for him.
You don't think it's sad that all of a sudden, like, you are watching the whole sport, fans, media, come to this public realization that you're not as good as they thought?
Okay, when you put it like that, sure.
That seems a little disappointing. Yeah, like, I'm not saying it, like, sure, you do need to get past these things and you have to play well. It's like, but it's still a kind of like bit depressing in the sense, you know, it's like, oh, well, cause I always liked Pekka Rinne and it's not very good. It's not been a good exposure for him, but that's okay. Cause I don't think he's going to win. I still think Pittsburgh's going to, like, Pittsburgh doesn't look like they can lose at home. So
no. And like you said, even that the 5-1 game three, Pittsburgh got that 1-0 lead and the goal on Rene was not good. And he did not look comfortable until Nashville got probably a 2-goal lead in that game. That's when he finally, you were like, okay, now I just have to play myself. I need to play my style.
Do you have a preference of who you want to win this now?
I've kind of been okay with either team.
Yeah, so have I.
The whole way through. And I think I want Pittsburgh to win it just because they are the better team, which is like, usually I find myself rooting for the underdog, but like, I don't know. But either way, like, I'd be very content if PK, both these teams, to me, it comes down to like the individuals. And the only individual that I really enjoy on Nashville is PK. Like, I like watching him play. He's fun. He's personable. I like him outside of the, off the ice. I like him on the ice. Whereas on Pittsburgh, like, I like watching Crosby. Phil Kessel makes me laugh. Malkin has still been angry this entire playoff. Got the old Gordie Howe hat trick last game.
Kessel's been like basically invisible.
Yeah, he scored last game, but that's only because everyone scored for Pittsburgh.
Okay, I have a dilemma.
Tell me.
And I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but I want, like, I'm okay with either of these teams winning, but there is a team that I'm becoming more and more in favor of. I've kind of been on the Pittsburgh side to begin with because I picked them in my, like, that's who I picked to win, so right. I kind of want them to win.
We both picked the old Pittsburgh.
So, but I've been leaning more and more to a team for a very distinct reason, but I think it's a pretty terrible reason and it makes me a terrible person, but I don't know. So I want Pittsburgh to win more now than I did before. And I really want them to win on Sunday night because I want them to just crush those Nashville fans. Like, it just, oh man, that would be so good. And that's the thing. Like, you always root for the underdog. I always root for the team that's destroying the underdog or like those fans are, cause I'm just like, I want to see all of them lose. Like, cause like I think back to, and you're not included in this. And cause like it's, I hate bandwagon fans, but like when like the,
you know, my take on bandwagon fans.
Yeah, like when the Jays were making the playoffs and doing good, like I was just like, I wanted them to lose so badly because I wanted everyone that was like jumping on the Jays and just like this like pandemonium everywhere. I wanted them to like curl up and cry in a corner because they lost so badly. And that's what I kind of want. Like I would love to see 7-0 win in Nashville. Pittsburgh wins. Like, that would be hilarious. Just so soul crushing. Cause Nashville, I hate to break this to you, but like, there's regressions coming. This is your chance.
Because, well, and I think you have to take any shot you make it to the cup final. The odds of you becoming a Pittsburgh is a repeat team because of the stars that they have.
Yeah, and Nashville just doesn't have those stars, and Renee's not getting better, and like I'm all for just like an average goalie taking you there, but like I'm starting to think Renee might be like below average. Like, could you imagine Nashville with a really good goalie?
Yeah,
the series would be over.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so that's, is that make me a bad person for wanting that?
No, I don't think that makes you a bad person at all. I think that the humor of that would be great. The only thing that I wish is like, I wish that it was like international soccer where like half of the stadium was one team and half of it was the other.
Yeah, that would be.
Because like, obviously the Nashville fans are fantastic. We've seen the prices that they're paying. Did you see how much scalpers tickets are going for in Pittsburgh?
Half a face value.
Half a face value. Like, no one in Pittsburgh is amped up. They've been here before. Maybe that's their reasoning. Maybe they're way too expensive, but like their tickets going for $5,000 in Nashville, which is crazy.
Like, game 7, I think it'll be a bit different.
Yeah.
My guess is people get up for game 7, but.
Yeah, but this is going to be, you know, tomorrow night, last game of the season in Nashville. You know that crowd's going to be amped. You know they're going to bring out, you know, the rumored singers for the national anthem. Who do you want to sing the national anthem in Nashville?
Danny Matheson, whatever that guy is. Like, bring that guy back.
You want him for one game?
I want them to bring him back and like
to introduce the actual singer.
And then like, no.
Okay.
Bring him back. He comes out there to sing. Technical difficulties, the mic breaks. And then the crowd sings it, and he's just like, this was my chance. It was game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals. And it's like, but it's not actually technical difficulties. They just turned it off, and they wanted their fans to sing it. And it was such a great moment for all the fans.
I think it'd be fantastic if he walks out there, you know, everyone's cheering. He's excited. He's like, this is my time. I have the mic back. All of a sudden, you hear the glass shatter, lights go out. Oh, you didn't know? And out walks Dolly Parton.
That would be the biggest jerk move of like all time.
That, it won't happen.
That will never happen.
In my head, it would be spectacular.
Oh man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I want to sing that. I want to see Pittsburgh. Who did we figure it out? It was Christina Aguilera. Is that who?
I think
so. They got a Pittsburgh. Come on, get your act together. Yeah. Get Mario to do it. Just be like, yo, Super Mario, just go.
No one knows if he can sing, but no one would care.
Nobody would care.
The crowd would go crazy. They would sing it for him. He would just need to sing the first line.
Yeah, that they would go off the wall. And then he just gets like one of their like towels or whatever their fan giveaway that night is, start waving it, crowd go crazy. They'd win 17-0.
Some Nashville fan throws a catfish on the ice. Mario catches it, throws it back into the stands.
Yeah, it'd just be off the hook. So are you rooting for a game 7 or are you rooting for over?
I'm fine either way. Obviously, game 7 has that game 7-ness, but like you said, none of these games have been close. So I kind of assume a game 7 will also not be close.
Well, it's getting a little feisty.
It is. Mr. Crosby and Mr. Subban are having, obviously there's two camps when it comes to Sidney Crosby, right? There's the Sidney Crosby can do no wrong camp, which I find myself in probably more than I should. And then there's the Sidney Crosby gets special treatment and he can do no wrong by the league, but he's actually just a total jerk on the ice. So we saw in game number 5, two incidents leading to people believing Sidney Crosby can get away with whatever he wants and does whatever he wants. One, and the one that stands out the most, was him and Subban. Apparently, PK grabbed his leg. Sidney wanted to skate down the ice. Wasn't a big fan, so he just started pushing, punching, however you want to define it, PK's helmet into the ice. And then the water bottle on the ice later in the game. What are your thoughts on that? With those, obviously, him and PK both got matching minors for their shenanigans.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So I don't know why everyone's worked up about that. Like, why are you upset? He got a penalty. What PK did also was a penalty. So why are we upset? I don't get why people are upset about this. This is the thing I've seen. People are like, oh, head injuries, targeting the head. I'm like, the guy's head was like an inch from the ice and he was pushing it. Like, it wasn't like he was like, he saw PK lying on the ice and like suplexed his face into the boards or something. I don't know what a suplex is. I just think it's, I'm pretty sure it's a wrestling term, right?
Yeah.
Gonna go with that. Was it that bad? I don't know.
It wasn't that bad.
It didn't look that bad. I'm not like, it was a penalty and he got a penalty.
And it should have been a penalty. And it shouldn't have been more than that. It shouldn't have been a suspension.
No.
Which is the, and it shouldn't have been a major. Like, especially in a playoff game, when you, what essentially degraded into a wrestling match between those two.
Yeah. Like, and
it's going to escalate further than it should when you have the best player on one team against the best player on another team. Yeah, they're going to. PK's been shutting down Crosby as well as he can this entire series. And now all of a sudden, Crosby has a chance to let off some steam while the guy is holding him back, literally. Yeah, that's going to happen, but all the people that say, Crosby's dirty for what he did, the amount of people who do what they did, what he did, huge.
That's my next point. Like, I don't care. Like, you want that to be a penalty? You want it to be a major? Fine. You better call it when everybody does something like that. You know, like, because, like, that was the equivalent of a scrum after the whistle that goes up against the board. I've seen lots of guys get, like, do the hand face wash up, put the guy's helmets right up against the boards and he smacks him into the boards a few times. How come no one's like losing their mind about that? They're losing their mind because it was Crosby and they're like, he gets special treatment. Yeah, he does get special treatment. He also gets the special type of treatment that he doesn't get calls when other guys might get called. Like, I've seen lots of guys target Crosby just for fun this playoffs and they're not getting called. Like, I think this comes down to refs have lost the ability to contain these games a little bit because they let everything go. And so, like, I don't know.
And a matching minor does not de-escalate a situation. especially at that point in time. Like, certainly it wasn't something that needed to be contained. It was just an incident between the two of them, but you give them matching minors at the end of a period, they go to the room, whatever. Sure, those two might cool off, but if there is an escalating situation, it's not until one team actually feels a punishment. Because it's also not like they took off differing people. Like, it's not like they took off, Matt Irwin and Sidney Crosby, or they took off Brian Rust and PK Subban. No, they took off, like, the stars of the teams. So, yeah, it's even.
Yeah, and I just, and, like, I don't know. It just doesn't make, I don't get it. And, like, what's your take on the water bottle thing? Because I got a good take on that, too.
I have zero take on it, so.
Okay, this is my take. Everyone needs to stop crying and stop being whiners and stop being lame because nobody cares. Nobody cares that the Penguins threw a water bottle at someone and they got away with it. If the ref had seen it, it would have been a penalty. You don't know how many things guys get away with because the ref doesn't see it. Every shift there is a penalty. But you know what? The refs don't see everything. So stop your whining about, oh, it should have been a penalty on that goal because, you know, there was a water bottle thrown on the ice. Who cares? Nobody saw it. Like, yes, it's a penalty. You shouldn't do that. But so is slashing the guy in the back of the leg. But how many times does that not get called because the refs don't see it? Oh, it's so annoying. These so many whiners that whine about all these little shouldn't have been a penalty. Like, who cares? It was 7-0 at that point. Game's over.
Was that one of your other bones to pick today?
Yeah, it's just so people whine about everything. Like, do people not realize that because the refs don't know what they're doing on the ice? Everyone tries to get competitive advantages that are technically illegal, but because no one sees it, they get away with it.
Yeah.
So why do you, like, why are there not, like, 15,000 GIFs of someone slashing someone in the back of the leg or getting cross-checked in the back that should have been a penalty but wasn't called?
Because it's equally someone behind the play.
Yeah, and you want to know why? You want to know why everyone's freaking out about it?
I do.
It's because it was Sidney Crosby. Like, that's the reason. It's because, oh, Crosby can get away with anything. Yeah, every player gets away with everything. Every player gets away with everything. And until you have, I don't know how you fix that. And you're not going to fix it because the refs are never going to be able to see everything. So,
no one wants to watch, like, honestly, if they called everything, that would be a lot less fun.
Well, it's like the NFL. There is a hold on every play.
Yeah.
On the offensive line. But if you call a penalty on every play, like, it's just going to get boring.
There is a travel on every possession in the NBA.
Yeah. That's not, like, traveling's not a thing anymore. But, like, oh, it's just, like, I get it. Did you think throwing the water ball at the guy was dangerous or something?
No,
I don't know.
It wasn't,
like,
dangerous. It was
just dumb.
It was stupid. Yeah, he shouldn't have done it. And it was, like, I've seen a lot of people call it classless. It certainly wasn't class E.
Well,
to say the least.
Did you see the thing about, and this is not going to become very big, but did you see that Puck Daddy guy?
Yeah, Wyshynski.
Yeah, so he went and I think they got a lip reader to take the footage of what PK and Crosby's conversation, the whole bad breath incident.
Yeah.
it was not about Brad Breath. I can tell you.
Shockingly,
not about Brad Breath.
Yeah.
Shockingly, and I think this, I was just reading it quickly before the show today, and I think it was PK that started it. So, like, is it, okay, fine. How come no one's freaking out and calling PK classless for making up stuff and blowing this all out of proportion? Like, it's the anti-Crosby camp. And I get it. I am in the pro-Crosby camp. And you want to know why I am? Because I'm Canadian and we have gold medals. So take that. Like, well,
I guess that's a great place to wrap that up there. So you're saying Pens in seven?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I'll go Pens in six. Tomorrow night wraps it up so that Joel can't watch the game. That's not why I've picked it, but. So the offseason rumors have started. Some moves have started. Shane Gostisbehere got a big old contract yesterday. 6 years, $4.5 million. Per season, that's a chunk.
It's bad.
For a guy who got benched as a healthy scratch for a lot of last season.
It's a big old woof. Like, I'm not happy if I am a Philly fan today. Oh, I don't know. You probably are happy if you're a Philly fan because they probably love that guy there. I wouldn't.
I would. I'd be content. It's at $4.5 million. It puts him in the range of... one Nikita Zaitsev.
Zaitsev was arguably our best defenseman this past year. He didn't get benched. Like, that's... you're okay with it, hey? It's a lot of money for a long time for a guy that got benched.
It is a lot of money for a long time, and I think you have to decide. You had to have that conversation with the coach and sort out, like, why did you bench him? Like, was it for teaching? Was it like a teachable thing? Because if you did it just because, like, he's not good and you were like, no, I'm done dealing with this, then yeah, then you have a big problem on your hands. If you did it because, you wanted him to learn, then sure. But the coach and the GM need to be on the same page. And if he's going to be handing out 6 year, $4.5 million contracts and then still having him benched, you've got a hefty problem. But for me, like, that puts him right now as the 56th highest paid, or I guess tied for 53rd highest paid defenseman. So that's second defenseman money. And I think if you, like, for that long, for a 24-year-old defenseman, even if he is your second best defenseman, which I think he can be, I'm fine with that.
I don't know if he can be. I don't know if he can be. That's the thing. Like, I view him not as like your second best defenseman, but I view him as like second pairing or even maybe third pairing. I don't think he's that great.
I think the problem is that they need to find ways to find someone for him to play with in a way that he can be offensive in the way that he was his first year. Like, he certainly was a great talent offensively his first year. They need to find ways to make sure that that can happen and still, be a quality defenseman to keep the puck out of the net.
What is your take on Philly? Like,
Philly's a weird team.
They got a lot of, like, they got players that, like, could be good, but might not actually be good. Like, I don't know. I feel like, you got guys like, just like Braden Schenn. Like, it's just, is he good? Is he not? He, like, shows that he's good sometimes and shows that he's not good the other times. And I guess he's, like, I don't know. Is what he is. He's 25 goal scorer now. He's kind of settled into that.
I think so, which, like, obviously for $5 million, that's an overpay, but I think you look at Philly and you take a team that is good enough to be in the conversation as a playoff team every year, but are not good enough to be that top team.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because a lot of this core is set. Like, they need a big change if they're going to make an adjustment. Now, certainly having the number two overall pick this year going to help that a little bit.
Yeah.
Even in a weak draft, no matter who they end up with, that's a quality player that arguably could be in their lineup this year and should be a top six forward or top, you know, top pairing defenseman into the future.
Their problem is that, like, their two best players just don't seem to be as good as they as people expect them to be.
Well, and if you look at, you know, the Gostis Bear being benched, like, Voracek spent time on the fourth line, on the third line. Like, he was a guy who moved around because they just could not get away to get him scoring.
Yeah, Voracek and Giroux, like, they just don't see, like, they can be so good, but they're having a hard time being so good right now. Like, it's...
And certainly, that team will go as well as they do.
Yeah.
And it'll be difficult for them, obviously difficult for them to move on from those guys. So, like, it's kind of that kind of a scenario. This is the Flyers team. Obviously, they went out and made some poor choices. Dale Weiss, not the best of ideas. Andrew McDonald, not a great idea. So, you know, they have a few problem scenarios like that. But, you know, I love Provorov. And, you know, with you add this pick that they're getting this year, I think that they still have some of those pieces. So, you know, their potential going forward. Goaltending in Philly's always been a bit of a disaster, so... You know, the fact that they've got Neuwirth and Net follows your, like, yeah, an average goalie can get hot and take you where you want to be.
Yeah, like, you wonder if, like, a guy like, cause you, like, I always hear about, like Nolan Patrick, and you're just, like, you're not really sure where that guy's going to fit in, like, where he's going to go. I wonder if this is a team, cause, like, I think Nolan Patrick's still expected to go top five, right?
I am fairly certain, like, top two is still the...
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, like, this might be a good place for him, because you still got, like, you still have, like, you have Giroux, Voracek, Shen as your top three guys. You got Couturier, well, Simmons. I guess Simmons might be... Simmons your best player on this team right now? I don't know.
Right he now, seems, yeah.
Like, so you've got a top... Like, you got a top six. Nolan Patrick doesn't need to play in your top six on this team. It might be a good place for him to be, right? Like...
Oh, for sure.
And so I don't know. It's kind of a weird team. And they got, well, and then they got Konecki or whatever. How do you say that? Konecki?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, like, he's a good player too. So you got, this team's, they need a goalie. Like, they should call up Pittsburgh.
I don't, I'm pretty sure Pittsburgh's not doing Philly any favors.
I don't know. They might sound like you need a goalie. So go get Fleury. I don't know. What if they went to Columbus and picked up Kostopoulos or whatever that guy's name is?
Korpisalo.
Yeah. That's an upgrade over any of the goalies they've had recently.
That's probably true. Well, especially, like, potential wise, he's certainly an upgrade.
Like, go put your second round pick in one of your prospects and go get a goalie. Like, that's, stop trying to get, like, Nuremberg. I can never say that guy's name. Mason. Like, they just, like, they're picking up these guys. They're just like, yeah, we know they're not really good. So, I don't know. Go get a goalie. That's what this team needs to do. Go sign what goalies are available. This team should have signed Ben Bishop. I don't think they have that kind of cap space.
Neither did Dallas. Some more rumors coming out yesterday. I guess this isn't a rumor, but the rumor of a shakeup in Chicago. And there's been talks of the moves that they are going to make with Las Vegas in regards to the draft. That being that they are likely, the rumored move is that they will give Vegas Trevor Van Riemsdyk if they take on one of these bad contracts, likes of a Marcus Kruger or something along those lines. So That's one side of it. And then yesterday the rumor came out that part of the core of this team is going to be moved. And what they said is multiple sources, part of the core, not Taves, which I think that's fairly obvious. Like, it's not going to be Taves and it's not going to be Kane. So
yeah,
the one that makes the most sense for them to try to move, as difficult as it could be, is Brent Seabrook. Is that the kind of person that, you know, we saw them last year send off Brian Bickle with Teravainen to Carolina?
Yeah.
How long is Chicago able to just send off bad contract after bad contract with draft picks and veterans, or draft picks and prospects, and still be able to field a reasonable roster?
It's already catching up with them. They couldn't do anything in the playoffs. Like, so that's, I don't think they can do it for much longer. Like, I don't think, I don't know. This is,
so is this the last shot? Is that what this is? This is just last ditch efforts, grasping for straws, trying to get the most out of this team that realistically, like, you have six more years of Tane and Caves. That's not the names. They're actually Kane and Taves, but,
what did you say?
I said Tane and Caves. Cause
that's
words,
awesome.
Words are hard.
I like this.
like you have six more years of those guys. You have to at least, you know, it falls into the camp of if you win cups, you're happy with some bad contracts. But if this team falls apart, you're left with six more years of them. And if they're, you know, they weren't obviously, you know, they lost out to Pittsburgh and or Nashville in four. They weren't the world beaters that we've seen them in the regular season. So, you know, you start to fall back and you're all of a sudden you're the three seed in the Central. You're borderline making the playoffs. You're fighting for the playoffs. You're missing the playoffs. Like, is it worth it for them to try to salvage this?
I don't think so. I think you don't salvage. I think you just start getting, I don't know what you do. I don't know. It's just so hard to know where you go because they're still a playoff team and they still can win. I think, like, isn't, what would you have tried to move Crawford instead of Darling?
No.
I don't think, like, do you think Crawford's that good of a goalie? I feel like he's not.
I think he's good enough. And I think that, like, obviously, because what, Darling got $4 million, Crawford's sitting at $6 million, so it's, you know, a bit less money. But the difference in what you have is,
I don't think the difference is that big between those two.
No, I don't think. But what I do know is that Corey Crawford is a proven goalie who's shown that he can win a Stanley Cup for them, and Scott Darling hasn't. And that's why you keep Corey Crawford.
Are we sure Crawford has been the one winning the Stanley Cup, or has that been Tane and Caves?
Well, it's certainly a lot of Tane and Caves.
If you are the team that receives a Brent Seabrook, are you happy?
Depends what else Chicago's given me, or if it's like just a straight up, like, even if it's a straight up salary dump, if it's like Brent Seabrook, you take all the money and you give up a sixth round pick, I'm not that happy with that.
Very sad about that. I'm very sad about that. If I'm that team, and I just don't know where, I just don't know who you trade. And like, and this is the thing. And I said this to you last night when all this stuff is like, I know that like, there's been rumors about trades with Vegas and whatnot, and that there's stuff coming down the line for that. Well, news doesn't break during the Stanley Cup finals. And it's kind of like, I think I saw somewhere, like, there's that unwritten rule that you just don't have trades or signings during the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, Batman would lose his mind if you tried to do that.
Yeah, and so I think we're going to see some things come out. And that's why I was like, Don't be so sure here on these rumors. Like, sure, maybe there's some deals getting finalized, but you're not going to hear about them until a day or two after the cup.
Yeah.
Like, but that's just the way it goes. So
if you look, I think one example of what it would take to move a Brent Seabrook type deal is Dion Phaneuf. They essentially have the same contract. Dion has more left on his deal, or less left on his deal. But like, that was just a salary dump for the Leafs. And they gave Ottawa a little bit, took back some bad contracts. So like, and that's what's going to make it harder for Chicago to pull off, because Toronto could afford to take back Milan Mihalik and just like, sure, have him around because they don't need to worry about cap space. They can have him and not need to dip into long-term IR. Like, Chicago can't take back a bad deal.
Yeah. And
that's what makes this hard.
Yeah. So they're going to go, because like, you're not going to, any team that wants to be a playoff team right now, I know that every team wants to be a playoff team. There's some teams that just don't. They're just happy being terrible. They're not going to take this contract because it's just going to handcuff them for a long time. So you're not going to see, like, is Brent Seabrook a good defenseman? Yes. Is he worth what he's getting paid for as long as he's getting paid? No. So
here's what's crazy to me. How much of this contract do you think Brent Seabrook has played?
A year or two?
1 year.
Yeah.
He is, I knew it was 1 year, because he signed it early, right?
Yeah.
He signed it before he needed to, but he's played one season of this contract.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Oh, well, it's bad. You know, it's almost as bad as bringing in one of the worst hockey players of all time to, you know what, we're going to give you the keys to the car and just drive. Do it.
Who is this you speak of?
This is news from this morning that Mr. Bob Bugner is about to be a head coach in the NHL.
Are you serious?
Florida Panthers.
Wow.
They know how it is.
Good for them. I saw rumors of that and thought there's no way that an NHL team is going to hire Bob Bugner to be their actual head coach.
Announcement coming Monday.
Wow.
Here's the question. Is this the worst NHL player getting a head coaching job? Has there been a worse player that's gotten a head coaching job?
Oh, I can't think of one off the top of my head. Like, cause the problem is that Bob Bugner did not play the kind of style of play that you'd be like, yeah, that's a guy who knows how to play hockey.
Because he couldn't, because he wasn't good.
Yeah.
This is the most confusing signing.
Yeah, that's he's had success in junior, but there's a lot of guys who have success in junior and it doesn't translate to the NHL. And so you have to think he's going to get a shot at some point, right? But like, his success was 7 years ago. He won the Memorial Cup 2009, 2010 in Windsor. And then missed the playoffs two out of the next four seasons, losing in the first round in the OHL playoffs those other years. So you got to think to yourselves, hey, maybe not actually good. Maybe there's someone who's a super talented player. Who do you think would be on that OHL roster, that Windsor Spitfires roster there, Joel, that would win them a Memorial Cup championship?
From what year?
2009, 2010.
I don't know. Actually, the year I just realized asking what year did not help me being able to answer that question. I don't know. That's like, I don't know who played in Windsor. Okay. I don't know who played anywhere.
Well, here is the Windsor Spitfires roster that he had that year. He had Mr. Taylor Hall, Adam Henrique, Ryan Ellis, Washington Capitals, soon to be Las Vegas Golden Knights starting goaltender Philip Grubauer on that roster. To name a few.
There you go.
That's going to win you a Canadian Junior Championship.
Yeah. So, can I, going back just to the Philly thing, I've been holding on to this little nugget of information. WHL goalie of the year is a Philly prospect.
Ooh, who would that be?
Mr. Carter Hart.
Oh, of our,
Everett.
Everett Silvertips.
Everett Silvertips.
Yeah.
So, anyways,
another guy on that roster, Cam Fowler. Back when, back the first go around and everyone was all in on Cam Fowler.
So it was Windsor?
Windsor, yeah.
Yeah. That's, oh man. I don't know.
Congrats to Bob Bugner for getting a NHL coaching gig. Good luck.
Just crazy. Just crazy. What else? Is there anything else? There's some
rule changes potentially coming down the pipe. The competition committee has recommended two rule changes, one certainly bigger than the other. So I'll start the smallest one first. The official rule recommendation is the committee recommends a change so that when a team has a power play and a player on that team at full strength causes a stoppage of play as a result of striking the puck with a high stick in the offensive zone, the resulting faceoff shall be made in the neutral zone. This makes the rule consistent with how the faceoff is addressed when there is a stoppage under the same circumstances when teams are at full strength.
All right. That's the dumb rule that sends it back to the defensive zone if there's a high stick in the O zone.
Yeah. So now
that's just like, hey, we should just do what we always do instead of making special rules at special times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. The biggest one is the committee recommends a change that no timeout shall be granted following an icing for the team that committed the icing infraction.
Oh, well, that's dumb. That's stupid. Yeah, you have a timeout. You should be allowed to use it whenever you want during a stoppage of play. Don't like, you can't be at this time. You want to burn your timeout because your guys have been on the ice for so long and you toss an icy? That's a consequence, but that should be your right. Ah, that's dumb. You should be able to call a timeout whenever you want.
I'm with you. I wasn't as fired up about it as you are. I wasn't gonna.
Stupid.
Yeah. And especially in the present day of coaches challenge, if you want to lose your coach's challenge to save a fresh team after an icing, go nuts.
Yeah, like that's you have a timeout. You should be allowed to use it whenever you want, but you have one. And you lose it. Like
I'm with you. But that is apparently going to be a thing. So, I don't know if it'll change teams' likelihood of icing the puck. Cause no team really is like, man, I really wanted to ice that. That it was the ideal play. You're in like desperation mode cause you're penned in. If you're penned in, you're still going to ice that puck. It's just that you're more likely to get scored on now because you can't take that timeout. You might see a few more shenanigans of teams like, oh, got to go change a skate blade, or goalie got his cage rattled and it's a little loose, things like that. But from that side, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot. Joel, have you picked all of your bones that you needed to pick this week?
I think so. I had a couple of good... I got some aggression out.
Okay, so you're feeling better because you have, you've shared your thoughts on the schedule.
Yeah.
You've shared your thoughts on those who whine.
Yeah.
You've shared your thoughts about icing being no timeout.
That wasn't one of them, but that's... Okay. Did I get fired up about that? I didn't think I did. Apparently I did.
You felt on the verge.
Okay.
Like you were right on the cusp. If you, the next sentence would have been probably right there.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, I'm glad to know that you've gotten everything off your chest.
Is there anything that you need to?
No, I'm kind of okay right now.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm so ready for this expansion draft and trades and July 1st.
I have a question for you. It's certainly off topic, but pertinent because we found out this morning, Mr. Adam West, the original Batman, passed away. Are you a big Batman fan?
No.
No? All right. Well, then that's not... I was going to ask you who your favorite Batman was, but if you don't really like the Batmans, then it's kind of relevant.
I don't like superhero movies.
I didn't think so. Well, all right. Well, then who's your favorite James Bond?
Well, that's not even a question. Sean Connery. Okay. Not close.
Just wanted to make sure.
Is that yours?
Yes.
So, although Roger Moore, also very good, though. But, like that's like, it's like 1A and 1B. And then 1C is Pierce Brosnan. And then I don't know what after that. The guy that did License to Kill, that just did the one, that guy was terrible.
Yes.
And yes, Honor of Majesty's Secret Service. That one, not so good either. But I think it's because he wore a kilt the whole movie. That kind of threw me for a loop. He's just like, you don't really see James Bond as the kilt type.
No, never. I was actually going through my movies this week. I was putting them into... to like getting rid of all the cases because I still have all these movies, but like the amount of time I sit down and watch a DVD or a Blu-ray now is much less now in the Netflix age.
Yeah.
And so I have all the Bond movies. So I was, you know, getting rid of the cases, just keeping the discs, and it was a good reminder. I might have to go back and start rewatching some of those. They're good.
Those are some of my favorite movies. I love James Bond movies.
They're good.
So good. We don't get this anymore because like I think it's difficult to get these channels, but remember like the days of like, I don't know, is it TNT or TBS or whatever that had like the Bond marathons?
Yeah, those were good.
Those are great. I would watch. I remember every year at Christmas, my dad's work would have a Christmas party, but it was in Banff. And so we would overnight. And it was always the weekend of a Bond marathon.
And what a magical time.
Yeah, so my parents would go off to like the work party banquet thing and do all these work things. And me and my brother would stay in the room and watch James Bond all weekend long. Awesome.
That is a win. Yeah, we don't really watch like movies on TV anymore. No one wants to sit through commercials when watching a movie.
No, I've recorded a couple, like I'll PVR it, and then if it's a movie that I've been wanting to see, or like, oh, it's like, we don't have that movie, it's not on Netflix, I love that movie, I'll PVR it so I can watch it and then skip the commercials, but like, that's super rare.
Like, the amount of times that I have watched Rush Hour on TBS, huge. That movie was always on there, and I would watch it just about every single time.
That's hilarious. Rush Hour of all the movies. So funny.
Big Rush Hour fan.
There you go. I like that. I'm trying to think what else. I don't know. I don't know what other TV movies I've watched, but I watched some weird movie last night that I stopped. I don't know. It was animated.
Okay.
It was about monsters or aliens or something. I don't know.
That sounds bad.
It was not good. We stopped watching it.
Smart. Smart move.
Anyways, hopefully by the next time we talk, we'll be through the next game of the Stanley Cup Finals, and then we'll only have one more to go, right?
Yeah, should be about like that. We have Game 6 Sunday night. Game 7 will, in fact, be on Wednesday. So this time next week, we will be done the NHL season. Thank you guys very much for staying tuned throughout the entire NHL playoffs. It's been a lot of fun just to be able to interact with you guys on Twitter, email, wherever we're interacting. Thank you very much. It's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I have enjoyed this playoff run more than a lot of previous ones. I don't know what it is. It's kept me engaged and entertained the whole time. I know Joel's less so, but.
This has been the best playoffs for me for years.
You made the playoffs, so.
Yeah. Next year's going to be great.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Stanley Cup, baby. Boom or bust.
Wow. If you ain't first, you're last.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you can head over to Twitter. Only two more chances to play high sticking. It's a log jam tied at the big number of 3 at the top. So if you pick the game winning goal scorer, you're jumping straight up into a tie. So head over to our Twitter at Fourth Line Podcast. Predict the game winning goal scorers for game 6 and 7. And if you win, I have been, I haven't told Joel this. I've been incredibly negligent in my abilities to send out the mini sticks lately. So if you've won a round of high sticking throughout the playoffs, or if you're Nate and you won our fantasy league, those are coming to you. We have not forgotten. I went out and got the old packing supplies for it and have them waiting. I'm just waiting to see who the last one of the playoffs is, and I'll send them all out at once. So
I like it.
So yeah, head over to our Twitter, Facebook, website, thefourthlinepodcast.com, and our Patreon page. Thank you very much to those who support the show. Help to make it possible. And obviously, we are on Last Word on Sports and Nuts and Bolts Sports. And until next week, enjoy the last game or two of the NHL season.
Boom City.